Right, well, good afternoon, everybody. Now, is this microphone working?
Yes.
Picking it up right? Okay, brilliant. So, let's just handle, twist any of these knobs or anything like that. Now, Keith, I do need your help, actually.
Yes.
If you can come and stand with me down here, because I don't need a reading, but I need you to do something for me. Because what I want to do this art, isn't it lovely, by the way? I want to pursue this idea of love this afternoon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we know what love caused the Lord Jesus to do, which is to lay down his life for his sheep. I want to explore this concept of the love of Christ that he has for his flock. But before we get into that, there's just one thing we didn't manage to touch on yesterday about this word lead in the Psalms. He leads me by still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And actually, do you know what the literal meaning of that word is, Keith? Just out of interest. You probably won't, but I didn't know until I read it in a book last week.
No, I'm going to go there for it.
Right. What it means is, he runs with a sparkle. He runs with a sparkle. So I don't want to read it, Keith. I just like you to run with a sparkle. I think that was perfect, actually, because you ran with a great big smile on your face. And I'm sure when the Lord is leading his sheep, even though we give him heartache, distress, sleepless nights, he's tearing his hair out, what are they doing now? He's leading us with joy and a smile on his face, because he runs with a sparkle. Thank you, Keith. Another round of applause for Keith. For someone like you, Darren would have really struggled with
that. I am sorry.
Right, turn please to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you right there, Keith? We're a bit like the Pope sitting up on the back.
Good night, lads.
Just keeping an eye on me. That's fine. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because here is a what I find a mind-blowing verse of the Apostle Paul when he's talking about love. I just want to explore it for a few minutes. By the way, I've had a warning from Aliko just before. She said, just watch out for John, he tends to nod off in the afternoon. So keep your hands on your way. So that goes for anybody else out there that might be tempted to yawn. Any yawn I see, I have 5 minutes on to the length of the address. Right, let's go. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, says Paul, it is for God. And clearly there were some people who were saying to Paul, or about Paul, he's out of his mind. You don't want to be following what the Apostle Paul teaches. It's not right. He's not thinking straight. He's unusual. He's not normal. You know, this is how normally one should react, but the Apostle Paul isn't in a right mind. And Paul says, well, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. You see, following the Good Shepherd takes us into places and causes us to act in a way which is alien from the world recognises. And people look at us and say, that's not normal. And the Apostle Paul says, I know it's not normal. I do it for God. And I put up with all these funny looks and strange accusations for the sake of God. But here's the point in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, I'll be reading from the ESV. Yeah? What other versions have we got here for that? The love of Christ controls us. Yes, Amy?
Constraineth us.
Okay. Has anybody got an NIV?
Compels us.
Confound.
Compels.
Compels. Okay, compels. So,
I said we are ruled by.
Ruled by. Okay. So, here is the love of Christ. So, this isn't our love for him. This is his love for us. It controls, rules, compels and constraineth us. What does that mean? So when you get your concordance out, there are some really interesting examples of where that word is used. How can we understand how Christ's love for us can control us, constrain us, rule us, maybe to the extent of laying down our life, giving of our all for our friends? You can remember Peter's mother-in-law. And mother-in-laws are a delicate subject, I find, at the best of times. And I know that there are some here. Yes, I've got a look already. Right, okay. So, can I explain more? No, right. So mother-in-laws are delicate, but here's Peter's mother-in-law who was ill. She was taken with a fever. And that word, taken with a fever, is that same word? Constrained, ruleth, controlled, compelled by a fever. And I guess we've all had high fevers. I was unfortunate enough at one time to go down with malaria. And it kind of racks you. You go from hot sweats to cold shivers to aching pains, and it goes through the cycle all over again, about in a 2 or 3 day cycle. Well, these little parasites can get in your liver and give you this dreadful disease. It's all gone now. I think I'm perfectly normal again. So, but if you are unable to do anything else, when you're taken with a fever, it controls you. It restrains you on your bed and has you completely at its beck and its call. You're not well enough to go up and do anything else of your own choosing. You are taken with that fever. So, are you taken with the love of Christ? As if you have a high temperature and a fever, does it control you? Does it compel you? Are you, one might say, love sick? By this love that the Lord has for us, that it is so encompassing in our lives, that it just grips us and takes us. First example. For the second example, I need all the young people from the youth weekend to come up here, please, and stand in the corner. Because Keith very kindly took the front row of chairs away. I don't know whether you did it yourself or you delegated.
No, two of us.
Two of you, right, okay. That's the way here. Right, so young people, all of you from the youth weekend, come and stand up here. I know, I'm terrible. Just, that's when you were sitting down into a slumber. Just checking the text messages on the phone, even though Keith said switch them off, or I make them come up here. So, excellent. I told you they were beautiful, didn't I, this morning, brothers and sisters? Right, now then, you need to get really close and bunch up in the middle, okay? Now's your chance, boys. Okay, so while the youngsters are there, the rest of us need to turn, please, to Luke. And we need to turn to Luke chapter 8. Are you comfortable there? Yeah? Okay, Luke chapter 8. So here's the occasion when Jesus was pressed around all of him by a crowd, and a woman who had a discharge of blood, verse 43, from 12 years, she came and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, verse 45 of Acts 8, "Who was it that touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in upon you." Now that word, pressing in upon you, is that same word of controlling, compelling, constraining. What was yours?
Compels.
Yes, that's it. That's the same word. So, Someone at the back, yes. Can you just try and make your way through the crowd? And the rest of the crowd clearly isn't going to let you make their way through the crowd because it's all... Come on, you've got to try and get it. You can't go through the back way. Come on, you've got to do better than that. That's it. That's it. Come on, you can do it. Put your shoulder down. That's it. Right, you can all go and sit down, thank you very much. Just to put your mind at rest, I only need three more volunteers for the rest of my talk, if that's okay. So there's only three of you that need to be volunteers. So the love of Christ controlling us is as if you are standing in a big crowd. And it's like last time I went to a football match and you're standing in a big crowd and you're leaving the ground and you're all flowing out through the tunnels. And if you try and go the other way, you have got no chance at all. You've got this massive humanity around you, taking you with it. You're swept up with them. It surrounds you, it compels you, it controls you, it constrains you. And is that how the love of Christ is for you in your life? It sweeps you along on every angle. And if you try and get out of it, it's like you've got to force your way through it before you can get to where you want to get to. But you've got to kick against the force of the love of Christ before you're able to go and do that which perhaps you shouldn't be doing. The love of Christ controls me, us, says Paul. The final illustration is this. And I need two strong, muscly young men. I'm not going to ask for nominations from the ladies. They know who they are. James, you know who you are.
Young men, did you say young men?
Yes. How did I forget? Keith, please. Yes, come on, Keith. Yes. Right, and now actually, Lou, would you mind? You can say no if you'd rather not. Yeah, great. You must be great for going out with this young man. Can you just stand in the middle?
This young man.
Yeah. Right, now you just need to hold Lou by the arms quite firmly. Because you two are Roman soldiers. Okay, and you have in the midst of you a prisoner. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, please. Luke chapter 22 and verse 63. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. You don't need to beat her again. Too much into character. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. But the men were holding Jesus in custody. And this is the picture in my own mind's eye, that they were roughly holding him on either side as someone else was placing a crown on his head and beating him and mocking him. The love of Christ controls me. Constrains me. It's like having two Roman soldiers either side of me in their vice-like grip. The depth of his love for me, says Paul. Thank you. You can sit, you can let go of the napkin. So back to 2 Corinthians 5, because if that is how Paul understands the love of Christ for him, and that is how Christ's love is for us as well. And I guess the challenge for us is to realise it, is to experience it, is to feel it in our lives so that it becomes a real influence on our thinking and a director of our actions, something that prevents us from doing something which we shouldn't do, and something which encourages us and compels us to do something which otherwise we wouldn't have done. Because the love of Christ is at the forefront of our mind, and it influences our thoughts, and therefore our actions. So verse 14 again. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, says Paul. I've sat down and I've reasoned it. I've thought about this long and hard. This isn't some love which just appears and goes. This is love which is based on the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to me on the road to Damascus, and an understanding of what he's done for me. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. So I think there are two things that I just want to leave with you that will help us, I hope, to understand this force field of love that Christ has for us. And the first thing is to understand that he died for us. He died for all. He died for me. And we considered that yesterday in our first session on the Good Samaritan, that when we say the Lord is my shepherd, it's a very personal thing. It's me and him, and it's our relationship which counts. And so my favourite verse in Galatians chapter 2, we'll turn there again. The young people don't have to, because they turned there yesterday. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. But Paul expands and he says, I have been crucified with Christ, verse 20 of chapter 2. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You can see how strong that force has become. But his self has been placed at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now filling that void as Paul's thoughts are influenced by what the Lord Jesus has done for him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this was personal. This wasn't national. This wasn't Israel. This wasn't even the Gentiles. This was about him and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can get on a personal terms with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean personal, then you will find that the influence of that force of love grows. Because he says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I know them, and they know me. I was a sheep once. I was a sheep who cried out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I was a sheep that was brought down to the dust of death. I was a sheep who has walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I know what it is like. So getting personal with the Lord Jesus makes a difference. The second reason is this. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Because we said this morning in the exhortation that God loved Christ because he did what God commanded him. And that is right. Jesus made himself lovable and God loved him because he was lovable. And therefore we have to follow his commands, or by making ourselves lovable, God loves us. But Romans 8 looks at it from a different angle. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us,
who can be against us? And that, if you like, is a New Testament equivalent of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, the Creator God, the one who not just created me, but everything around me, is my personal shepherd. I shall not want of anything good, of anything that does good for me in the end. We look to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us?
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?
So there's the love of Christ in giving himself for us. There's the love of the Father in giving his Son that he might give himself for us. There's a double emphasis of love here. There are two loves. And when you come to Romans chapter 5, you realise that God loves us not just because we make ourselves lovable by following his commandments, which is true. But in verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But while we were these silly sheep, I wonder if the young people could give me a bar. 3, 2, 1.
Hey.
Yeah, we did a lot of... Thank you, Josie. Some... puts his heart and soul into everything. But we have to get ourselves into character. We have to remind ourselves that by saying the Lord is my shepherd, we are putting our hands up and saying, yes, we are silly sheep and we need shepherding. And God is saying is that while you were silly sheep who knew no better, I sent my son to die for you, even before you thought about becoming lovable or caring or even knew the meaning of the words. I love you because of who I am. There is something about God which loves. And he did all this while we were silly sheep. So if we are to understand the love that controls us, then make it personal. Realise what it was that God did as well as the Lord Jesus in giving himself. And realise about yourself that there is nothing in you that was worth loving when he sent Jesus to die for you. There is now, because you yourselves are responding in that love to be like his son, to make yourselves loving and lovable. And so he loves you again. So go back to 2 Corinthians 5 for our final verse. Two verses. Verse 15. Let's read verse 14 again. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. It's an interesting add-on there, isn't it? He has died for all, I can understand. Therefore, all have died. And I think what Paul is saying is when you as sheep associate yourself with that shepherd, when you hear his voice in that morning and you say, yes, that's the voice I'm going to respond to, and you make yourself part of his flock, even though he's called you beforehand, you are taking on his saving name. It is through that door that you go in and out and find life, an abundant life. It's as if, yes, through the waters of baptism, he has died, and he's died for all, therefore all have died. And if we have died with him in the waters of baptism, it means actually that now we are alive. God doesn't want us dead, he wants us alive. And the life which we now live is that abundant life. In those green pastures, by those still waters. Yes, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death at times, thou art still with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort. We live in an abundant life now because we have passed from death to life. The eternal life starts at the waters of baptism. And he died for all, verse 15, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him for whom their sake died and was raised again. Place yourself at his disposal. So verse 16, from now on therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. I think this is a wonderful verse. Because we have seen the love of Christ for us and realised God's love in giving him and realising the depth of it and responding to it through the waters of baptism and having started our life together abundantly with him, we now look at each other in a different light. We now no longer look at each other and say, silly sheep, sorry Karen, you just happened to catch my eye. I think it's right to look at ourselves and say, silly sheep, where's your humility? Why do you keep running for the gap in the fence? Do you not realise two or three are going to follow behind you? Why are you following the backside of the sheep in front of you, not knowing where they're going to take you? Keep your eyes on your shepherd and listen out for the sound of his voice. We should never underestimate the power of human nature has on us. See yourself as a silly sheep. But when you consider your brothers and sisters in Christ, you do not consider them according to the flesh. For he goes on to say, you are a new creation. I see you as someone for whom Christ died. And if Christ died for you, I need to put myself at your disposal. And if you as an individual see people putting their life at your disposal, I think it is then that the love of Christ becomes real and is experienced. And we can say the love of Christ controls me, constrains me, compels me, rules me. Because every way I turn, I am surrounded by it. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope he's yours too.